This is 101.9 FM, that's the station, and this is Babe Waves, the Gender Empowerment Collective's radio baby from CITR. We're having this super fun episode today. It's kind of like an open house concept, so anyone in the room in which to which we are broadcasting or in the EBC community is like totally welcome to come and join our convo on sexual safety, kind of like in honor of Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is January here at UBC and has been since 2010. We would like to acknowledge that this show is being broadcasted and is taking place on Point Grey campus, UBC, on the traditional unceded Coast Salish lands of the Musqueam people. So Sexual Assault Awareness Month, they've been calling it SAM, just like really long A, has been happening since 2010. And actually yesterday was Denim Day, which is a day that's celebrated every year where people wear denim kind of like in solidarity for this like really terrible court decision that was made in Italy, I think in 1998, where they the Italian court overturned a rape charge because the victim was wearing tight jeans, and they said that her jeans were so tight that she had to have helped remove them and thus gave her consent to her attacker. Fun fact, she was 16 years old at a driving lesson. Her instructor had her drive to a remote place and then assaulted her, which is disgusting. So yesterday was Denim Day. We're gonna play a little interview that I did of my 12-year-old sister last year. So the dates are a little fudged, but kind of the point of this, like I remember explaining it to my mom, like the idea and the concept of sexual consent is so basic and like innate that like even a 12-year-old child like understands and can wrap their head around the concept. And also she's really freaking cute, which is like adorable as well. So yeah, we're gonna play that. Just a reminder to anyone in the sub right now or anyone listening, feel free to call in, come in, join our open house. We're gonna be having a lovely discussion in a little bit. So yeah, here's that interview.
Hi, you are listening to Lady Radio on CITR 101.9. My name is Dora, and I just really quickly wanted to acknowledge that this studio is located on unceded Musqueam and Squamish territories. Next Wednesday, January 20th, is Denim Day. Denim Day is an event where people wear denim in solidarity for victims of sexual violence and to raise awareness about sexual assault as an issue. We'll be talking a little bit more about its background and everything it entails. This month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month here at UBC, is focused around these really important issues of rape, consent, sexual assault, and everything that kind of comes in this really heavy package. One of the most important things that we can do is raise awareness about consent and about sexual assault. One way to talk about this that I thought was kind of cute and fun, but then also touched on raising awareness and educating people, was I spoke to my little sister, who is 12 years old, and had a short conversation about consent and what that means.
Hello?
Hey, what's Papa Lockin'?
Nothing.
That's amazing. Do you know why I'm calling you today?
No.
I would like to talk to you about Denim Day. Ever heard of it?
Denim Day? Like jeans?
Yes.
No.
So, I'm going to start this off with a conversation about sexuality. Is that okay?
Okay.
First, I'm just going to ask, what has Mom told you about consent and consensual sex?
That it's better than non-consensual sex.
Can you define what consensual sex is and what unconsensual sex is?
Both people who are having sex have consented to it.
That was flawless. Just like your face.
Thank you.
You're welcome. When I was like thinking about what I was going to write and like talk about for this, the first thing that came to mind, because I was like, oh my God, am I going to have to explain rape to Sophie? And then I was like, no, because she's seen every episode of Veronica Mars ever.
I've also seen Lady Gaga's music video.
Another great fountain of information. From those, like, media contexts, what did those teach you about the word rape and what consent is?
Rape is when one person who's having sex hasn't consented to it.
That's true. At school, do you ever learn about consent or anything like that? Or is it just, like, you learn about it through TV shows and Mom?
No, not at school. We don't really talk about it, but I'm only in the seventh grade, and that might not be in the curriculum for this grade. It might be like in high school or something. I mean, no one's really talked about it.
Do you think that this is something that they should teach in school? Do you like kind of wish that they addressed it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if they don't watch every single episode of Veronica Mars, how else are they going to find out about it? Or like they watch a Lady Gaga video if their mom doesn't tell them, they might not figure out about it, and they figure out way too late.
Have you ever heard of Yes Means Yes?
Yes.
There used to be this big campaign that was like no means no. It was like an anti-rape thing, and it was like when someone says no, it means like they don't want to have sex with you, like just leave it at that. But then people started realizing that consent was really nuanced. It could be non-consensual in different contexts, and so this thing came out that's like yes means yes, and now consent is a freely and enthusiastically given yes. So it's like both people are like, I am into this, this is what I want, yes, and it takes out all the ambiguity.
What if one of them is intoxicated?
That's another part of consent. If someone is under the influence of drugs or anything, then it's not consent.
So what's denim day?
Oh, wow. I was just about to get to that. And you don't know what it is.
No.
Okay. I'm going to throw some dates at you. In 1992, this girl was learning how to drive, and she went... remember when the instructor would, like, come to our house, and then we'd drive around and then come back?
Yeah.
So that was happening, but while she was, like, having her lesson, the dude made her pull over onto an obscure little street and then forced her out of the car and raped her and then forced her to drive back home. Her parents was like, we're going to fight this. He was sentenced to jail time, and then he appealed it, which means that he was like, I don't agree with this. And it went all the way to the Italian Supreme Court, where in 1998, they dismissed all the charges, saying that her jeans were so tight, she would have had to take them off. And, like, in helping him remove the jeans, she gave consent. And then the women of the Italian parliament were livid, so they all wore jeans, and now denim days is, like, a thing.
Oh, my God. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone get out of jail time for.
I know. It's ridiculous. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that whole sitch?
I feel like if somebody thinks that because she was wearing a certain type of clothing, it means that she wasn't raped, it's just dumb.
Now it's like a thing. It's usually in April. There's like a worldwide denim
day. What day in April?
I don't know what it is this year, but last year was like April 29th or something, so around late April. So at UBC here in Vancouver Town, it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so we're hosting a lot of events and everything, and we are hosting our own kind of like little contained denim day on January 20th, next Wednesday. It was lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for participating in this little interview.
Anytime, anytime.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. So I hope you found that to be an informative conversation about consent and about Denim Day. I'm going to talk about Denim Day's background a little bit more in depth. And then I'm also going to talk about some other events that UBC has organized for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. This year, Denim Day is on January 20th. That's next Wednesday. It's an all-day event. Everyone's welcome. Not at all discriminatory. Basically, you just wear denim as much as you can. Unleash that Canadian tuxedo you know you've been wanting to wear, and go crazy. And also for a really amazing reason. Denim Day began in 1998 with a really terrible, really sexist ruling in the Italian Supreme Court, where a young woman was told that she in fact had not been raped because her jeans were so tight she would have had to help the man attacking her, and by removing her jeans in this scenario, she gave her consent. After this ruling, the women in the Italian parliament protested by wearing jeans and holding signs that read, "Jeans, an alibi for rape." This form of protest soon caught on with the California state legislation and assembly, and Patricia Giggins, the then executive director of the Los Angeles Commission on Assault Against Women, and now chairs the Peace Over Violence nonprofit organization, established Denim Day as an annual event, and over 20 U.S. states recognized Denim Day in April. Although it is not the internationally recognized Denim Day, which everyone should participate in when April comes, UBC's demonstration next Wednesday is still very important in making the campus a safe space for everyone. If you want to find out more about what UBC is doing, you can Google Sexual Assault Awareness or SAAW UBC. It'll bring you to a website that has a list of events, how you can find support, a bunch of really important facts. So you should really hit that up. Some other events that are happening for this month. Also on January 20th, there is a free lecture coming together at the intersections, sexualized violence in our communities. Again, on the 20th, there is a free workshop, anti-violence ally training. On the 26th, there is a free workshop, race, racism, and sexualized violence workshop. And then on the 28th, a free lecture, rethinking sexualization with Julia Serrano. I and the ladies of Lady Radio really hope that everyone participates on Denim Day. I know we all will. And really encourage everyone to go to these events and learn more about sexual assault and what we can do to support survivors and prevent it in any capacity. Do you have any other thoughts that you want to share?
No.
So that was like the cutest interview in the entire world that I did with my little sister Sophie last year for in honor of Denim Day, back when we were still Lady Radio. The dates were a little fudge, but I think all the content was like pretty solid. And yeah, and I just realized that I made a mistake in that interview. It's not SAAW, it's SAAM, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So Google that. It's really awesome. So now we're going to play a few songs, the first of which is Never Numbers by Daughters off their album Not to Disappear.
We'll feel this. Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shade.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
The next one is this Wednesday, January 25th.
And welcome back to Bay Waves on CITR 101.9 FM. Still kicking, still on Unceded Musqueam territory. Today we're having an kind of open house episode on sexual safety. So we are broadcasting out into the sub right now. And then also anyone is welcome to call in and have their opinions and thoughts heard. So we're talking about sexual safety. We're going to be regularly calling out the community just so that they know. And I know you must all be very tired of my voice right now, but I'm just going to open up with the first question of the evening, which is, how would you define sexual safety and kind of what does it mean to you? I can
I can like go for it to get the ball rolling if the people want it. I came up with this topic, and I find it like kind of interesting just in that like I feel like sexual safety can mean a lot of things. Like it can mean like the typical like safe sex, which is like protected sex, so that you don't get pregnant, and then also don't get STDs, whatever. But then also like how do you stay? I think that this like fun, not distinction, but like inclusion of like emotional well-being and emotional safety. So like, and like psychological safety. So consent, I would definitely kind of like lump into this category as well as like contraception and just like taking care of yourself. And then also like BDSM and like what that kind of safety practice kind of means. But the first thing that I thought of was definitely consent and sexual assault. And that like form of safety. I don't know, anyone have any thoughts?
Is this on?
Sorry, some difficulties.
I think it's interesting.
Here, I'm just gonna pass the mic around for the people.
I think I was thinking about like the phrase sexual safety, and I think everything you're saying was right. It's kind of strange though to like safe sex is very different from non-consensual sensual sex, which I would say is like not really sexual, like that's not sex, that's rape. I was gonna say something else. I can't remember.
I think that sexual safety.
Here, let's just like use this one because I think it's the most. Sorry, listeners on the air and in the space. We're gonna use the same microphone. It's fine. Oh, and I do want to. I think we should have said this earlier. Trigger warning for everyone. This is really sensitive, like a very sensitive topic and very sensitive content. And if you are made to feel unsafe or anything, we are really sorry. And we don't mean to be threatening at all.
Thank you, Dora. Sexual safety. I think I have to think of feeling comfortable in the space. So if I'm on campus, sexual safety for me is feeling completely safe and secure. That's the first thing that came to my mind when I heard about when I heard about this, and I don't know, that was the first thing I could think of.
Yeah, this is kind of going off what you said, but I would definitely think sexual safety means really strong communication, ensuring that you're on the same page, because maybe one if you're in a sexual situation, maybe you don't know how far you want to go. And making sure that who you're with actually knows that. I feel like that's really key so that things don't get out of hand in a way you don't want them to.
Yeah, no, totally. And I know this is like kind of awful, but I've definitely been like functioning in this conversation in like a very heteronormative kind of way. Obviously there's like sexual assault and safety issues within LGBTQ community or relationships as well. And I really can't speak on it, but I think that what we can all agree is that like communication is key and making sure that everyone feels comfortable. I'm like, that's a general vibe I'm getting. Another like call to the people out there. If you're interested in what we're talking about, which is sexual safety, feel free to come on in. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So the next kind of question that we have is, how do you practice or participate in sexual safety?
Does this work? It works. How do I practice or participate in sexual safety? Well, I have a feeling what like I learned, I mean, I don't really know how to practice it. It's like, it's not like I walk around thinking about it. It's just like, I learned that like, there's this, again, like how we mentioned, sexual safety is about feeling comfortable in the space where you are. And so if I feel that, oops. Do I continue talking? Okay. And so basically what I'm trying to say is that to me, like, how to preserve your sexual safety is to leave when you think there's a problem, when you no longer feel comfortable in the space where you are. And this way? Okay. And so that's how I practice it. So, like, if I really feel there's a trouble towards me, like something I cannot fix in a conversation or through sign language or anything, and I feel like this is like a red button, I'm gonna leave. So I think like practicing sexual safety, it's very important to leave in this right moment when you think like, okay, I don't think I should, you know, feel scared or like tolerate this. Just go. Like, I think that's my advice. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like a pretty interesting distinction between like practicing and enforcing sexual safety and like kind of like asserting your agency in those kind of situations. Does anyone else want to speak a little bit on that?
Well, just like what people were saying before about communication, I think that's really key, ensuring like your own safety and your whoever you're with, like their safety as well. Communication is really important. Yeah.
I love this. I feel like everyone has like thoughts on it, but it is like such a
so scary
dish.
To hear your voice.
Yeah, no, it's a kind of intimidating situation, which like kind of sucks.
Actually, that one works.
Okay, cool. I'm just gonna move on to the next question. Another call out to just the world if they want to join. So how do you feel sexual safety has been addressed on campus? So this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so it's obviously an issue that they are interested in having a dialogue on, but so what do you guys think about the UBC community specifically being affected by this?
There were some talks about it in the first year residences, but because they weren't mandatory, they felt like a kind of side note, I guess. And so people didn't really feel like they had to go, or maybe didn't want to admit they wanted to learn more. Seems like sort of a funny... yeah. I think people felt awkward about going to talks about what consent is, because maybe that's sort of like admitting they want to know more. But I think it's important to like bring different people into the conversation that maybe wouldn't be thinking about it in the first place.
4 or 5 week long, just like month of engagement and knowledge sharing. So the next question we have is, what kind of education around sexual safety have you received? I thought this was like kind of a cute question because we played before this. We played an interview that I did with my little sister, and I kind of touched on it. And she was like, and I said something like, do you wish that you learned about like sexual consent? She was like, yeah, of course. Like, if people don't watch every episode of Veronica Mars and like watch Lady Gaga music videos, like, how are they going to know? Which was really cute. But yeah, so how have you guys experienced education in sexual safety?
I only had like basically like one lesson on it that at least I remember now. It wasn't in high school, it was before that, just like early teenagehood. And we were discussing like safety in general. Like, we had this course, it's like how to keep yourself safe. I can't remember like what was the full name of the lesson, but it was basically like, if an earthquake happens, what do you do? There's a fire in the apartment building, what do you do? And so one lesson was on sexual safety precisely. And what I remember they taught us is, for example, if you're in a street, it's dark, there's no one around, and you're attacked, well, for you know what kind of attack. And so obviously you're gonna have to resist, and you're gonna have to be effective in resisting physically the attacker. And so they just advised us like where to punch, what to do. And I'm like, okay, I mean, you asked that, so what education? So and like they told us this hint that like if it's a man, it's very sensitive, like this inside of the leg, and like you have to pinch it. And like, you just pinch it, and that's kind of like, that's a big deal. And so that would give him like seconds, he's going to be like shuddered. And then like, that's, you know, when you could at least make a step back, like get away from, and like, you know, then you could, you just really need just those few seconds when he is really not too much on you, like, you know. And so, and that gives you like a time to flee.
Cool.
Hey, yeah. I think that's a really cool and important tip. Like, self-defense is always good, but one thing that I find really frustrating is that people's ideas about who is a rapist or who is a person who commits sexual assault is usually really limited to the stranger in the dark bushes, which is almost always not the case. Like, that does happen, that's a danger that people have to be aware of, but for the most part, if you are going to be assaulted, it's going to be by someone you know, and it's going to be in an intimate situation with a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or someone who is not gender conforming. That kind of thing happens most often in situations that are not dark and scary alleys. So for me, as someone who went through the education system in Vancouver, that was a piece that was entirely left out, and something that you have to learn on your own often, and something that I think those posters that folks were talking about before trying to address and reorient the conversation, but they went about it in a really simplistic way. So having university be the first time that people are exposed to the idea that rape is not only getting attacked in the woods is really dangerous, and I think that's why you end up with statistics on the first 6 weeks of you know, class in September at universities being the most dangerous time for especially young women, because so many people are assaulted in that you know, frosh period. So yeah.
This one. Okay. My experience with education around sexual safety, like, in my like sex ed classes throughout school, most of them were about like getting STIs and how to avoid getting an STI or getting pregnant. I did have one like really good class on consent, which but that was like the only time. In Alberta, you have to take this class called Calm Class, Career and Life Management, and I did it in the summer. And they brought in a guest speaker to tell us about consent. But for anyone who like didn't do that class, they wouldn't have had that speaker. And I don't think it was like a mandatory part of the curriculum, because I had friends who like were learning about consent for the first time in like second year university, which is really not good, like Madeline was saying. I think it is like super important that people get education about consent before coming to university, because residence is like a dangerous place, especially in the first weeks. And yeah, especially because like coming into res, for me at least, there was like so much pressure to have sex. And that was really intense. And I think it's really important to like educate people and like tell them it's okay to like not have had sex by university and to not want to have sex or have casual sex, because there's a lot of pressure to do that in residence especially.
I so I grew up in, I went to Spain when I was 9 years old, until I was 12, and I never ever heard anything in school about this at all. Then I moved to France, and until I was 18, I had only one class, not really a class, it was like a workshop. So it was once when I was 13 about sex, and that was it. Nothing about consent, nothing at all. And then I moved to England for my undergraduate, and then they started talking about it, and I was like, this is really fucked up, because if you have to wait to be 18 to hear about this, I mean, there's something wrong. The system, like, it really is not working that way. So yeah, I don't know, how can you grow up in a country and not learn at all about sex ed? It's, I don't know, I think it's really wrong.
And I think that, just to go back to Madeline and Anna's or Anna's point about like kind of like mainly like who gets this education, and I know it's like kind of like, I mean, I've heard the sentence so many times, but it's ludicrous to teach young women to how to react to a sexual assault rather than teaching young men not to sexually assault people. I think consent, like, as a kind of femme-identifying person, I, like, am grateful that I've learned what it is and, like, how, like, some experiences I've had that I've had may not have been, like, totally kosher, but whenever I like think about those, I'm like, I wish the person who I had these experiences with like knew the kind of harm that he was doing and like knew the kind of actions that he was taking that was making me feel unsafe. Like I don't think that he ever will, like, which I think is even sadder, just if only because like he's never going to like really know all the pain that he's caused. And then also like he's going to keep hurting people, like, which is like ludicrous. Like it's info that it's important for young women to know so that they can like understand the effects, but then also for young men to know so that they aren't bad people anymore. Because also like I'm a little hesitant to say that all assault is malicious. I think a lot of it is based in miseducation, both in like not understanding what consent is, but also in like I gotta have sex tonight, like having like this idea of like sexual conquest versus the idea of like sexual experiences. And yeah, it's just absolutely insane.
Totally. Going off of what you said about not all assault being malicious necessarily, I think that often people assume that there's like a really tiny percentage of the male population in particular who perpetrate sexual assault, and that it's teeny weeny, and that like they must just be these super prolific rapists who get out and somehow manage to hit like 1 in 3 women and queer folks. When like, if you think about that, it makes no sense. It makes almost no sense that it would be a tiny percentage of people. It's probably a percentage of people that's proportional to the percentage of people who are being assaulted. And I think that's where allies can be really useful. I know I've had conversations with many different friends, male friends in particular, who start reflecting on things that they've done in their past, where they're like, you know what? I think that wasn't okay. Like, maybe I did something bad to a person. I didn't know that at the time. So I would encourage people to think openly or to open up more about reflecting on their own experiences and their own behavior with people who, like, with women who are more likely to be assaulted. So, yeah, it's just opening dialogue and making sure that it's not limited to these kinds of spaces where it's, like, just women talking about it.
Does this work? Oh, you want to go? You go first.
Yeah, just to go off of that, like, we live in a rape culture, which means that, like, rape is the norm. And so we need to change the whole culture, and it just everything that you were saying about rapists not necessarily being malicious at the time and not understanding the problems with their behavior is totally true, and it's definitely cultural, a big cultural problem.
I just wanted to say that actually, like, you raised a very interesting point about, I hadn't thought about it, but actually this is important to acknowledge that, in fact, like, well, we always have this the stereotype that the person who sexually assaults is always male gender, and that now that you've said it, that like it's true that some of these men, that like, well, young men, they, when they think of the past, they now they come to think of it like, oh, that must not have been correct. But I hadn't known that at the moment, because again, nobody told him, nobody educated him on this. And also what Dora said, that like this is kind of weird to, well, it's not weird, it's like this is this common practice to tell women how to defend themselves from sexual attackers, but then not tell boys like how that it's not a normal social conduct to, you know, to get into a sexual contact without consent, so on and so forth. So I think it's very important to educate boys on this as well. It's also good for them. Like, now that you brought it up, it's actually good for them as much as it is good for us.
Yeah, maybe even better.
I think that I want to thank you, Madeline, for bringing queer identifying folks into the conversation. I feel like we talk in like very gender terms, but like transgender people are the most highly assaulted group or like community like in the world, and like how this idea of like LGBT sexual safety is kind of like diminished and like less than like this heteronormative idea, and especially tied in with the like this idea that women don't assault, and that like folks in kind of like same gender, but like I'm talking specifically about same like female gender or gendered relationships, like how that like kind of assault is like still valid and like still like happening. I like know a lot of like I've heard a lot of like sad stories where like it's kind of like, oh no, like I'm not being assaulted because like she's my girlfriend, like she loves me, and it's like no, she's being like very abusive and manipulative, which I think is a narrative that's like not often kind of shared.
Yeah, and a part of that to me is expanding the conversation beyond the idea that men assault women. It's like, and that rape and sexual assault are unconsensual sex between a man and a woman. It's like sexual assault can range in action from all kinds of different things, but it's just between two people who aren't comfortable with the situation, and one person is made the victim in that situation. I think it's important to acknowledge that like there aren't any, well, are there any trans folks here right now? Probably no. No, there are no trans folks here right now. So it's like we're having this conversation from a pretty cis perspective or a cis gendered perspective, which is very relevant, but also limited. And I'd like to bring up the idea of masculinity and toxic masculinity rather than people who are like, quote unquote, biologically male as perpetrators. But why like rape culture persists when toxic masculinity persists, and what that means to you guys. That's something that I think about when we have these conversations.
All I really want to say about it, but without like going too far, is that it's my pet peeve.
Yeah, I think it like kind of ties into like especially the, I don't think it's an accident that like once people who were previously children are suddenly in an adult space and on their own and independent, and then all these attacks kind of happen. Like, this idea to prove yourself as, like, a masculine member of the society, but as, like, an adult and, like, established masculine member of the society is, I feel like I keep saying, like, quite harmful, but just, like, dangerous. Like, it's this thing that I remember, like, being, I think I was in first year, and I went to the Film Society, and we screened a documentary about how actually painful it is for men identifying folks to not be able to express kind of like themselves and like to be like in this culture. And I remember being like, oh my God, like, yeah, like you like can't express yourselves, but like women are being hurt, like da da da. And then I was thinking about it like last year about how that was my like initial reaction. And like, no, like this is like the society is like very cohesive. Like it's not an accident that like women are assaulted and the men are like have this toxic and like very harmful kind of like idea of like what it is to be them. Because especially going back to like saying communication is like key to safe sex, like if you're not told to communicate and you're not told to engage kind of like with the other people with whom you're having experiences with, then it's not like you're never going to really be sure. You're never going to really like actually be in a dialogue or in a conversation with anyone. It's going to be very one-sided, either with someone only sharing themselves emotionally or with you only kind of dominating and being very stoic the whole time. So I think we can go into a song. And then we're going to come right back with some great talks. Please excuse the song title. It's Unfuck the World by Angel Olsen off of her album Burn Your Fire for No Witness. She's an angel. And her last name is Olsen, so it really works out. I do want to apologize for the sound quality of this episode. This is like live in the lounge, kind of like wacky on the spot, and it's open to anyone who wants to come out, come in during the conversation. We'd love to hear everyone's voices, so we're gonna hit you with Unfuck the World on CITR 101.9 FM.
I quit my dreaming the moment that I found you. I started dancing just to be around you. Here's to thinking that it all meant so much more. I kept my mouth shut and opened up the door. I wanted nothing but for this to be the end, for this to never be a tight and empty end. If all the trouble in my heart would only mend, I lost my dream, I lost my reason all again. It's not just me for you, I have to look out too. I have to save my life, I need some peace of mind. I am the only one now, I am the only one now, I am the only one now. You may not be around, you may not be around, you may not be around. I am the only one now, I am the only one now, I am the only one now, I am the only one now.
So, hey everyone, you are listening to All Access Pass. I'm Desi Nair. I'm the collective coordinator for the show, for the Access Collective. I'm joined here today with Professor Barnes from UBC.
Howdy again, CITR listeners and CITR community. This is our special, super special open house episode of Babe Waves, where we are talking about sexual safety. Anyone is welcome to come on in and join the convo. We've been having really awesome talks on consent and everything kind of wrapped up in that, which has been pretty fun. So you just heard Kill V Mame by Grimes off her album Art Angels, which was so good. Fun fact, that music video was filmed in Bay Station in Toronto. Didn't have to Google it. I recognized it, and I felt very special and, like, pure Torontonian. So we're going to get right back into the questions. We're all just kind of, like, sitting around chatting. So the first one that we have after that little break is, do you feel like it is easy to communicate around your needs of sexual safety? I can, like, spring right out the gate on this one. Heck no, I do not feel comfortable communicating that kind of stuff, mainly because, like, I'm, like, I feel like I was thinking about this in the shower, actually, this morning. I feel like I'm a mature enough person in my day-to-day life, but when it comes to, like, romantic or sexual conversations, I turn into a 13-year-old girl, and I'm, like, I don't know, like, whatever you want. Like, I just want to be cool, like, super chill, no big deal, which is so dumb. And, like, I know that's my bridge to, like, kind of cross when I'm ready for it, but I find that every time I go on a date over the past, like, couple years, they've been like, can I do this thing? And every time that happens, I'm like, thank you for asking. Like, that was really cool of you. Nothing's come of those. Well, I don't know what that says about me, but I've never had to have a conversation with someone where I was like, you crossed a line. Like, that was, that made me feel unsafe and that wasn't actually, like, totally kosher. So, like, I'm like, praying that, like, that doesn't happen, but if it does, I'll be able to address it and communicate my, like, thoughts and feelings on it. I also, like, haven't been, like, in a sexual relationship in a while, so, like, communicating my sexual needs and, like, that kind of stuff has been, it's been a moot point in my life. Anyone else want to grab the wheel?
Sure. Yes. I would also say, no, it's not very easy, but I definitely, like, try to do it as much as possible, but, I mean, I'm like Dora in that, like, if I'm with someone I don't know very well, I, like, have a tendency to just, like, say yes to things that I'm, even if I'm not very comfortable with it, and for that reason, I usually just don't put myself into sexual situations with people I don't know well, which is good for me. I've also, like, had to talk to people about, like, well, not, like, talk to people, but, in, like, I've had situations where someone was like, oh, we always talk about it after, like, this is so cheesy, and I'm like, no, we need to talk about it after, like, I need to communicate to you, and, like, this is really important, and that's sort of solved
it. I also feel it depends of the person you're with, because I would say yes, it is easy to communicate because I feel comfortable with who I'm with, and but I completely see how this would be super difficult, and I would say no if I went in a relationship, in a long-term relationship, right? So that's, yeah, the only difference I would see.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I feel like consent is, like, and, like, sexual safety, and even if it's, like, sexual safety in terms of, like, we're wearing a condom or, like, yes, I'm on birth control, like, honesty and trust and, like, communication is literally the most paramount thing that you can possibly do. And when you're in, especially in, like, if you're in first year and you're fresh to, like, the city, and then it's like, oh, I don't know anyone, like, I don't really, you don't know anyone, you don't really have anyone to trust and to communicate with, like, on that kind of level, then you can feel very kind of trapped. And then also, like, when you're dating someone for, like, and you, like, just started and you're like, yeah, like, no, this is fine. Like, that is, like, it's just so tricky, especially, I mean, I feel like we've established we're all kind of like women identifying folks here, or for the most part. And like there is this like weird, I find this like weird pressure to just be like very compliant and like, yeah, you take charge, like this is fine. Just like in pretty much every aspect of like a interaction, and especially in a sexual interaction, like hardcore.
Also, in terms of communication, you don't always know what you're comfortable with before you try things. So I think that's a difficult conversation to have when you just are getting to know someone, but important to work out.
Yeah, and like the other side to what Dora was saying is like this conversation is often focused towards like men assaulting women, but it's like also important to remember, like as them identifying folks, that like we really need to be conscious of our actions as well, even though it doesn't happen as often. It's really important to like still like be thinking like, oh, do I have consent from my partner? Yeah,
I hate that like sexy woman taking charge, like no, you're just like foregoing communication. This is ludicrous. I find it so frustrating. That's just like a side note of my life. Everyone good on that one? I don't feel like they covered it. Cool. So this one is a really great question that Hyun actually came up with, and I was like, hell yes. Have you changed your view of sexual safety or the ways in which you make sure you feel sexually safe over time? For example, when you're 16 years old versus now, and what has affected that?
Actually, I didn't come up with that question. It was Priya. So Priya, if you're listening, thank you very much. It was a great question. I definitely feel more safer because I think I feel more confident and I feel like I can say no and I can say yes. I learned that over time. Again, I didn't like learn anything in school, so you kind of have to learn it all by yourself. So what affected that? I think that it was growing up surrounded by different type of women or men than that, and non-binary folks that made me realize that I can feel more confident. I can say no. I'm not weird if I want that. That's how I felt more confident over time.
My views have also definitely changed over time. I don't know, I think I was a bit of like of a late bloomer in terms of like wanting to have sex, but like when I was in high school, I was like kind of had this feeling that like someday I would have to have sex, and like it was just something that was gonna like have to happen to me and I would have to do it, and I like kind of dreaded it. That was like the narrative that I felt was given to me. I don't know, that's like a unique experience to me. But like now I feel much more comfortable and like secure in my sexual identity, partly because of like conversations like these and education that I did eventually receive around consent. And yeah, like the conversation we had last year about female sexuality on then Lady Radio was like really, I mean, that wasn't like the first time I was hearing it or the first time I was feeling more comfortable, but like just conversations like that were really significant for me in like feeling more safe and more secure.
I like love that Lady Radio episode. I thought it was really good. But something that like kind of like came out of it for me mainly was I kind of like don't love conversations like these because now I'm just like, oh, I'll just say no. Now, like every time I've been like faced with anything like remotely intimate, I've been like, nope. Like, and I feel comfortable saying no. And like I said earlier, like people always do ask, but it's kind of, every time I say no, it kind of feels like a rush of like, I'm asserting myself and like my sexual agency, which like I think is kind of limiting like for me, but that's just like a personal thing. I don't know if anyone else experiences that. My understanding has like definitely changed like in like literally every single way. like, I don't think I ever learned about any of this stuff in high school or even in, like, first year. I just, like, I'd just gone out of, like, a really long-term relationship, and I was like, no, I'm done. Like, I felt, like, really over it, but that didn't feel, like, so much, like, oh, like, I feel, like, confident in this. I just, like, I don't know. I felt like I didn't need it anymore, which is also, like, just me. I don't know if that's, like, anyone else.
I feel like what changed for me since I was 16 was thinking I knew, not really talking to boys and thinking I just knew what they were all thinking. And I was like, this is what boys think and this is how they're going to act. But then actually just talking to my male friends and being like, oh, okay, you're actually good guys. And yeah, that was definitely eye-opening.
Totally. I love that. I think this is the first time I've ever heard of, like, people talking to men about it. Like, people, like... That's cool. That's really cool. Good for you, Elsie. So what steps should be taken to restore the breached sexual safety publicly? And I think that also ties into the next question, which is, like, how can UBC or your community kind of increase sexual safety and sexual well-being for you and also, like, for others? I think this, like, mainly ties into the march that's happening on Saturday, just, like, women just being like, frick yeah, like, you can't grab our P words, like, no, 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 which is pretty cool, like, as, like, a social and, like, community movement, but what do you guys think? Like, we talked a little bit about that, campaign and whatever.
I, like, have a question. I know that, so in UBC we have this organization, this thing called Safeway, but then I also heard that it's only for visitors. It's not for UBC students. It's only for visitors. So it's for people who are unfamiliar with the campus.
I don't think that's right.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it should be for UBC students that, like, if you say you have a late class and, like, the campus is huge and, like, you're totally alone, you don't feel confident. Like, so I don't know. Like, can you actually, like, call Safeway and say, could you pick me up? Like, and then.
Yeah. Safewalk is open to everyone.
Okay. And so, like, you could actually, like, call and, yeah. And they. Are they, like, here on campus the entire night? Or?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's still not that late.
Yeah, which, like,
definitely could be later. So, like, 2 a.m. or something. And it's also if you're on your own. So if it's two girls, for example, walking, that's
Shut
not.
Shut up!
Yeah.
No way! Okay, safe walk, check
My
yourself.
My friends and I are always like, let's just spread out a little bit and be like, oh, we're both on our own.
That may
not be true. That's what I believe. It may have changed.
I'd like to correct myself. It's Safewalk, not Safeway. Safeway's a shop, right? I just realized that. It's like, so frustrated. Can't call Safeway to pick me up.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. I feel like this is something that I, like, think about a lot, like, sexual safety and, like, increasing it, like, in my community or whatever. But I don't really think of, like, steps that I can take to increase sexual safety besides, like, engaging with, like, the people around me. Like, I think that this is, I don't know, would you guys consider this an like, opportunity and, like, an educational kind of, like, space? Or is this kind of just, like, people just talking about, like, their lives?
Well, it's like, sexual safety awareness month, right? At UBC. Yeah. So I guess that it comes hand in hand with learning more and start the conversation first years as well. Maybe this is the first time there, or other people, you know, maybe this is the time they are talking about it. So definitely what we can do about it is just spread the word, talk to our little siblings as well, like Dora did. And open up the conversation with everyone.
Would you guys say that, like, Sexual Assault Awareness Month is kind of flawed? Like, I know this is, like, a pretty, like, solid reoccurring argument against Black History Month, which is, like, why do we have one month where we learn about Black history? Why don't we just learn it every single month? Why isn't it incorporated into the curriculum? Like, do you think it's important to, like, have the month, like, celebrating it or, like, raising awareness about it, but also, like, consistently having this level of awareness and this level of engagement?
I would totally agree with you that, like, we should be having this all the time and not just in one month, and, like, same with Black History Month. But because we don't have that yet. We need this month to, like, start having that, basically. Like, one sexual assault awareness month hopefully turns into 12. But for now, like, one is better than zero.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you think it would be helpful? I feel like we're kind of, like, limiting the conversation to the, like, university experience. But, like, having, like, mandatory, like, in residence, like, mandatory assault kind of, like, talks or whatever, or, like, what consent is.
That would be a really good idea.
UBC, take note. I guess that's, like, all we have to say for this episode. Thanks so much, everyone who came and engaged and talked to us about it. It was super fun. There is, I mentioned, like, very briefly, but there's a march, Women's March on Washington. It is Friday. It's on Saturday at 10 o'clock at Jack Poole Plaza, which is kind of near the waterfront station. Just a quick SkyTrain away. It's free. It's from 10 to noon. And it's basically just kind of people or, folks who are, like, mad about Trump and, like, folks who are mad about the way that this kind of, like, new administration and everything that Congress has been doing since his inauguration and how that all kind of is just, like, very upsetting and makes a lot of people very angry. And this is part of a demonstration that's happening all across the United States. Actually, like, fun fact, I was on Facebook earlier and my friend from high school, like, from middle school's mom, who I'm friends with on Facebook still, I don't know why, posted this, like, really cool article that was, like, women's marches on Washington that are happening, like, around the world. And I was like, yeah, Mine, like, you go, like, proud of you. Like, thank you for sharing this info. It's happening all over. So yeah, Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, Women's March on Washington, Vancouver. Because we are autonomous people and we have feelings and thoughts. So I hope everyone comes out. I'm definitely going to be there. Hit us up. Baywaves will be hitting up the Instagram for that. And I think we're still in our takeover of CITR, so we'll be hitting that up as well. So thank you so much for listening to this super special open house episode on CITR 101.9 FM.
Yeah. Conversations with Mother Earth. Father, he left with no warning. I'm so disturbed. Shit that you're feeding me, man. I'm sure that I've stomached worse. Trying to open my eyes, knowing my vision's blurred. Everything's so absurd. No, I'm an introvert. So I know the feeling when you're seen, but you're never heard. It's crazy, ain't it? Look into the heavens, like, can you save me, maybe? Am I a little too ambitious? But my origin is not this planet. The apocalypse will soon commence. How do you feel when your soul's abandoned? My appearance is turning morbid. No secrets inside the stories. The apocalypse will soon commence. What would you do as a forfeit? Shit, man, my thoughts are distorted. I'm in too deep. Though it's not all dark, look at the scenery. Trees grew into the sky, look at the leaves beneath. Yellow and orange are the colors that will speak to me. Synesthesia ain't deceiving me. Mind bright, flow tight, and my heart is where it needs to be. As long as the people believe in me. Look into my eyes, shit man, I can tell that you're reading me. As long as the people believe in me, I don't mind. Time on me, your time, your time.